Good evening. This evening, I'd like to take a few moments just to talk a little bit about people that know me know I'm not the most confident person. Sometimes I find it hard to... I look down on myself quite often. But, like, this evening, I'd like to kind of go over some things that will kind of comfort us on how the Lord views us and how we are to be more bold in our faith. I thought I'd take a few minutes just to talk about how the Lord looks at us and how that inward view of ourselves can affect us and what the Lord thinks how we should be as Christians. Some people in the world think that Christians should be like passive, but that's not what the Bible teaches us. Key verses that speak being bold in Christ include Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him, and Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Other scriptures, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That doesn't sound like somebody that is passive. Yeah, to go along with what Brother Jason was saying, I wasn't in collab with him, but like, it is important to have humility and gentleness and patience and bear one another, and it's important to preserve unity. But I also thought that it would be important to talk about being bold in our faith. Ephesians 3:8-12. To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to be intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers, of the emphasis on the Holy Spirit's role. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then the importance of prayer and action. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Genesis 1:27 really shows how we should really think more highly of ourselves. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Your value is rooted in being an image bearer of Almighty God. Psalms 139:13-14. You are created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are deeply and unconditionally loved. Scriptures such as Isaiah 43:1-4. But now thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. We are Christ. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. In the water and through the water, rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your wife. In Romans 5, 1 through 8. Therefore, having justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. God has profound and unwavering love for humanity. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Luke 12:6-7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are more valuable than many sparrows. It emphasizes our value to God. You have a purpose. Ephesians 2:10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen child of God. He chose you. Before you were even born, he chose you. 1 Peter 2:9. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Biblical teachings on self-esteem and like how we feel of ourselves, of your worth, come from your identity in God, not from your achievements, your appearance, your opinions of others. A healthy perception is rooted in understanding God's unconditional love and your unique purpose as his creation. Here are some scriptures related to that. Psalm 139:13-14. You are formed in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. And let's see. And you finding your strength in Christ. I guess I didn't. So I guess I didn't. I'll put the scripture down. But, Second Corinthians 12:7-10. And least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I exalted above measure concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And scriptures highlighted God's unconditional love. It's all throughout the scriptures of how much God loves us. But those in Christ are described as a new creation, free from condemnation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. John 3:14-16. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so that the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know that's a very well known scripture, but for those that have children, no, to give up a child, your only child, so that we, people that before we were even, when we were sinners, when we were going against God, he still gave up his Son so that we could be with him in eternity. And then Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That should give us some comfort. But there is one thing that can keep us from God, and it's our sin. It's us, ourselves, and our sin. And if you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, that's separating you from God. And if you have accepted Him, and you have wandered away, or you live in sin, you have, like we talked in the Bible study, that sin is like a veil on our heart. That's like, it's keeping us from God. So at this time, if there's anyone here that is separated from God or needs our help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.